We are proud to partner with MyFlex Learning. MyFlex Learning is a scheduling platform that helps middle and high schools meet the individual needs of all students. Students can easily create and manage time for flex blocks, wind time, activity periods, RTI, counselor and teacher appointments, and so much more. Even my favorite, synergy time. And with its built-in accountability tool and reporting features, MyFlex Learning solves your challenges around getting kids where they need to be and understanding how flex time is spent. Make flex time work for you. Visit myflexlearning.com/BE to learn more and receive $500 off your first year. That's myflexlearning.com/BE. This B Podcast Network show is presented by IXL. IXL's all-inclusive online teaching and learning platform simplifies edtech needs and accelerates achievement in 95 of the top 100 U.S. school districts. IXL delivers personalized learning across a comprehensive pre-K-12 curriculum, including math, language arts, science, and social studies, and helps you assess student performance through actionable, real-time insights at every level of your school or district. This one solution performs work that typically requires dozens of tools. Want to find out why so many leading districts trust IXL? Visit IXL.com/BE. That's IXL.com/BE. Welcome to Transformative Principal, where I help you stop putting out fires and start leading. I'm your host, Jethro Jones. You can follow me on Twitter at Jethro Jones. Welcome to the Transformative Principal Podcast. I am Jethro Jones, your host, and I'm excited to have on the program today Dr. Jane C. Lammers. She's the Director of Learning Design at Edmentum. She began her education career as a middle and high school literacy teacher and found a passion for supporting teachers and meeting the needs of striving readers. She earned her PhD in curriculum and instruction at Arizona State University and spent 15 years in higher education preparing students for the challenges of today's classrooms. Her research explored the intersection of students' interests and technology's affordances, aiming to make literacy instruction more meaningful and impactful. And after hearing that last sentence, you're saying she sounds like the perfect guest for Jethro, because that's what I'm all about. Now at Edmentum, Dr. Lammers helps ensure that their products leverage research-based best practices and consider the realities of teachers' work, and student needs. Jane, welcome to Transformative Principal. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much for the introduction and for the invitation, Jethro. I appreciate it.
I'm excited about our conversation today. What to you is most valuable that people will take away from our conversation today?
What I think is most valuable is that though we're talking about AI tools, we didn't spend a lot of time talking about the mundanity and what other sources are talking about, like the how-to, which tool does what thing. Really, the most meaningful thing, I think, is the guidance for school leaders about how to think beyond the boxes and the accountability systems that are currently set up to start to reimagine what learning can be in schools and beyond, and the ways in which generative AI tools might play a role in that.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I am actually going to steal exactly what you just said and make it the show notes explaining what this episode is about, because that was just, you just did an excellent job of describing exactly what we talk about. So way to go. That was very good. I would only add one thing to it. And that was, there is a powerful way for you to bring this to your school and start doing these things. And that's through a coalition of the willing, and find people who want to do cool stuff and then let them do it. And That piece of advice, I think, is powerful. We'll talk more about that in the rest of my interview with Jane here in just a moment. If you've been listening to Transformative Principal for any amount of time, you know that I have a love-hate relationship with EdTech. We have the ability to personalize learning for every single one of our students, and yet so many of our EdTech tools fall short. We need our technology to do more for us. That's why it's so important for me to know that IXL provides true personalized learning across the entire pre-K-12 curriculum, and that it's proven to benefit all student populations, including English language learners and students in special ed programs. As a principal, I've used this in my school. As a parent, I've had my children use it as well. And let me tell you, this is a tool that definitely helps students learn and practice better. IXL is research proven to accelerate achievement. Studies across 45 states show that IXL schools outperform non-IXL schools on state assessments, and independent research from Johns Hopkins University verifies that IXL meets ESSA Tier 1 standards. With those results combined with IXL's teacher-friendly reputation, what more could you ask for? Now, you also know that I don't care so much about test scores, but I know that they are legislatively convenient and something that we have to deal with and manage on a day-to-day basis. If you can implement something that is easy and effective, why wouldn't you do it? If you have a goal to increase achievement for all students, make sure to find out what IXL can do for you. Visit IXL.com/B for a demo. That's IXL.com/BE. Well, Jane, where I'd like to start out is talking a little bit more about Edmentum and this idea of kids choosing their own path for learning and how that's going to be incorporated with artificial intelligence and what that looks like. I know that's a broad question, but we can start there, get your initial thoughts, and then we can narrow it down a little bit more from there.
Yeah, thanks for that question, Jethro. I think we're in part still trying to figure that out. Edmentum's been using AI tools on the back end to increase our own efficiencies. And we're trying to think about what does it mean to use them with the students, with the educators, in a variety of different ways. So with our products that are the courses products that I think you might be more familiar with, where kids can get access to a self-paced learning either with or without teacher support, depending on how the district wants to implement it. I think there's an opportunity, not necessarily to build in AI, at least not yet, maybe it'll come to that, but to take advantage of the fact that these generative AI tools exist outside, and young people can, if they're having trouble understanding a concept that's explained in one of our courses, I think teaching them how to use the tools to explain difficult concepts, to almost act as like a personalized tutor for them, I think that's where it gets really helpful. It's also really helpful for language learners who are engaging with our products, who are having some challenges understanding what some of the explanations mean. I think teaching those language learners how to use generative AI, how to design prompts that will help explain things to them, and letting them know how the chat feature works kind of back and forth to get to a greater level of understanding is a really great opportunity for education.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think the idea of, I think a lot of startup type companies want to create and own that personalized tutor for everybody. Which I totally understand, but I think the real value is in understanding how to make that work for you as a learner specifically, and designing that environment yourself so that it knows you, knows what your interests are, and, you know, can help with that. That takes more time, effort, and energy, right, to develop the prompts and all that stuff. But I think that there is some value in going through that somewhat more difficult process to do that, as far as like you being in charge of and owning your own learning, because the reality is nobody cares about what you learn, even if they say they do, besides you, because it's you and your learning. So one of the ideas that I'm interested in is being able to know that I'm learning something as a student and that I'm quote unquote getting credit for it in different areas. And this is where I see AI being able to provide a real advantage, which is if I'm taking a social studies course, for example, and I have to write something in that social studies course, and it's showing mastery of certain standards in English language arts, why shouldn't I be able to have that count in both places? And this is the aspect of it that I think provides some opportunity for companies like Edmentum, who have the course material on both of those areas, to be able to say, hey, we see that you're writing really well over here. By the way, you just passed off all the standards for this particular class, or you only have these other standards left to go. What is your thinking around that, and whether or not that's a worthwhile endeavor, or if that is just crazy talk? What do you think?
Well, Jethro, I don't think it's crazy talk. I'll say that
there's one,
right off the
one
bat.
Check mark down.
one check mark. What I think you're getting at is, and we saw this, do you remember the conversations around badges and like micro credentialing? Yep. So that was a way. I think the internet as a learning space is continuing to disrupt our thinking about what's possible in education. Mm-hmm. So my research prior to coming to Edmentum was all about how young people could navigate and use technology for their own interest-driven learning. And it was mostly in online forums or social media spaces. And I'll tell you that those youth who were engaged in fandoms was one space that I studied. They weren't looking for course credit. They weren't looking for that acknowledgement. That's not why they were there. And yet there were opportunities. So some of the young people that I interviewed, they could see the potential. But what happened anytime they tried to take the ways in which they were learning in these online spaces into their classrooms, they butted up against the expectations and the formalization of a school space. And so what I think your question and your imagining, that is not crazy talk, but what I think you are pointing out is another way in which we need to disrupt the siloed nature, especially of secondary schools. So secondary schools in the US are so siloed that very few learners get an opportunity to see the direct connections between their social studies and their English classes, for example. Even if they're doing project-based learning, or even if they're doing inquiry, you know, our courses have inquiries built into them. We understand that that's more engaging for learners, but it is very focused only on the particular standards and subject matter of that course, because that's what the states require. And so that's what the districts need to buy and on down the line. So I think that generative AI tools created and used as some sort of personalized tutor or some sort of self-directed learning tool are going to be another disruptor of some of the norms of the way that schools are made. And so your podcast being the audience being school leaders, I think if we could get leaders and policymakers thinking this way about a reimagining of secondary schools, that would be a great opportunity.
Yeah. And I want to say more about what you just said, but I want to go back to what you said, that the youth who are engaged in fandom, for example, are not looking for credit. And I totally agree with you, but I want to put a little nuance on that. They're not looking for credit, and actually like making it academic will ruin it for a lot of them, right? And so that's not Absolutely. What I'm saying. And I don't want people to misinterpret that and think Jethro wants to make people's passions all about getting the grade, because that's not it at all. What I want our school system to do is basically acknowledge and recognize that learning that happens outside the four walls is just as valuable as the formal academized learning that happens within the four walls. What are your thoughts there?
That aligns wholly with the mission in my research. And so I would give talks about how young people are using fandoms and ask the question of why English teachers should care. Why should they even care that these young people are doing this? Because when I first stumbled across the first online forum where I saw this, there were 12,000 players of the video game The Sims, if you remember that, way back when. This was in The Sims 2 era. And I saw these young women writing these stories, and more importantly than the writing that they were doing was in the forums, they were giving each other feedback. And it was the peer review that I would try to set up in my classroom was happening organically around a topic that they were interested in. So I had a young woman who was one of my research participants who was diagnosed with dyslexia, and she would tell me that in her English class, she would feel slow and unwise, was the quote. And yet in this Sims fandom, she not only learned how to develop as a writer, to improve her dialogue, her grammar improved, her spelling improved, but she found the support she needed in order to produce a product that was valuable. And I'll say they didn't want school credit, but they did want recognition, right? So she got a ton of recognition in this space and also elevated her skills and found a place that would accept her. And so I would bring a story like that. Her pseudonym was Eve. And I'd tell teachers about a student like Eve. And almost every single one of them could imagine a kiddo in their class who's somebody who's maybe their interest didn't quite fit in. And it would open up this conversation and I would tell them, I don't want you to take what Eve does in this space and try to give her a grade for it. I just want you to be willing to understand that Eve is having meaningful learning experiences outside of the classroom that can be leveraged or that can be have like a way to help her see the connections and an entry point in to the, what's valued in a school-based space or to see other possibilities. But the other thing that we would say all the time in our research, any of us that were studying these kind of more social spaces outside of school, is please don't bring it into schools because then you ruin it. You school it, right?
Yeah. You make it so that it's no longer fun and enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
You make it so that it is now doing something for a grade and then it loses, you know, the appeal of it. And I do believe that there is a fine philosophical line to walk there. And, you know, in, for example, this podcast that I've been doing for a decade, that's a long time to be focused on a specific thing and to create something over and over and over every week for that whole entire time. And yet, like, where is the recognition that this is just as valuable for my own learning as getting a PhD or an EDD or whatever the case may be? And like, I have multiple times referred to this as my PhD, and I don't care that that somebody else doesn't recognize it because I've seen how valuable it's been for me. And I know that students do that as well. However, if we could find a way to say, hey, let me give you some kudos, some recognition. And oh, by the way, you don't have to waste your time doing this other thing that when we know you already can do it, because it doesn't matter. Like you mentioned a teacher saying that she tried to create these peer review type things in her classroom. Maybe that was you that said
it was me.
Okay. Thank you. You were trying to create these peer review situations in your classroom, and like, that's great. But the thing is, if kids already know how to do it, then the teaching them how to do it is not worthwhile. Them actually doing it is the thing that's worthwhile. And so how do you give them the confidence and the experience to know they can do that? Well, part of it is giving them some sort of recognition and saying, hey, I already know you can do this. You already have the grade. Help other kids understand how to review each other's things. Help other kids see where this is valuable and how it's helped you. That's a much different approach than, well, you still have to do it because it's for a grade. I already know that you know how to do it, but you didn't do it in the four walls of this classroom. Therefore, it doesn't exist and I can't give you a grade yet. So jump through these hoops to get the grade. Does that make sense?
Right. It does make sense. And if we could make learning not about jumping through hoops, but about demonstration of knowledge, demonstration of practices and skills that are valuable beyond the four walls of school, I think that does a greater service to the learners in our classrooms.
Yeah, and that comes full circle to this discussion about AI in schools and how we use it, because if our learning is about jumping through hoops, then yes, you should use AI to make that jump as easy and as quick as possible, because it doesn't have any meaning beyond the four walls of the classroom either. And so I can see where students would say, I want to just get this over with because they don't care about it and they have no reason to care about it. I totally understand where they're coming from. I understand that perspective. That doesn't mean that I agree with it, but I understand where they're at. So the advice that I've been giving is we shouldn't be using AI to circumvent learning, but we should be using it to enhance learning. And so there are tons of different ways to do that. But looking forward to the future, what are some of the ways that you are seeing that it will be possible for students to enhance their learning rather than circumvent it?
Well, I think in part it does. Like the AI, generative AI tools will make some of the more mundane tasks easier if they learn how to use them for that. So for example, a tool like a ChatGPT is a great idea generator. And if you're a learner who has trouble getting started with ideas or can't focus or too much, something like that, an AI tool could be really helpful in just generating a ton of ideas for you, helping you navigate the outline, and then you can dig in for yourself. So, and I don't consider that cheating at all. I think that's using the tool for some of the more repetitive, mundane tasks or idea generation as a brainstorming partner to help empower your learning beyond. I think that's one way. I think there's some really interesting innovations happening, like the tutoring spaces. So like the Conmigo, like, and how they're thinking about it. And so I think even the kids who aren't learning in that space, if they could adapt some of this kind of tutoring perspective or help me understand this complex idea more, I think that is another innovation that will help schools. I don't know necessarily, you know, I don't think there's necessarily a direct step between kind of the tutoring space and moving well beyond and like this empowered learning or enhanced learning that you're talking about. But in schools, all of our teachers are grappling with the need to differentiate across such a wide spectrum of learners now that it's become so challenging to do that as an educator. So the teacher themselves can use the tools and empower and teach the kids how to use the tools to offer some of that differentiation. And I think then it just frees up energy. So what I'm talking about is the tools that can be useful in ways that free up some more of the creative energy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that need to differentiate that you're talking about is key to what the way we should be using any of these AI tools in our schools. And one of the companies that I've talked about a ton is School AI and how they are approaching this problem. And the reason why I keep on bringing them up is because they're doing some really cool things like creating spaces for kids to go in and have a customized, unique to them experience about a specific topic. So, and this is where it's powerful. So let's say that the topic is the Pythagorean theorem, right? And so being able to have every kid discuss their interests and have the Pythagorean theorem applied to something that they're interested in is really powerful and nearly impossible for a teacher to do on her own.
Absolutely.
But you bring in a tool that allows you to multiply yourself and see what all these kids have as interests and be able to talk to them about different things so that you don't have to do all of that work and can instead focus your time on helping them understand the big picture and what the Pythagorean theorem really is, and then giving them opportunities to go deeper with something that is interesting to them. The doors that opens up, I think, are just tremendous. And that's just one example of how that empowers teachers and helps them. And so, like, why wouldn't you take advantage of a tool like that? You know, it just doesn't make sense to not do it when you know you need to differentiate. What are your thoughts?
There's not enough time in a class period for that teacher to make the examples relevant to the 20-something kids in front of them. And a tool like that, where each individual kid, each individual learner has an AI space that knows their interests, so that when the big topic of Pythagorean theorem or any topic is input in there, it then makes the examples relevant to them. That's huge. That's a huge boon to differentiation.
Yeah. And it's something that we all know we want to do as educators, but that we don't have the time, energy, or space to really be able to tackle. And and that kind of shortcoming, I think, is the exact thing that AI can solve really well. Like, creating lesson plans, sure. But that's, honestly, that's pretty boring. Grading student work, sure. But again, if one of the other things I say to teachers is have this be your policy. If you're going to use AI, because you just got to get it done, go ahead and use AI. Let me know. I'll give you a perfect grade for it. Because if you don't care enough to do it, I don't care enough to grade it. And we can mutually agree that this doesn't matter. And then the real question becomes, like, what do I need to do to make this more worthwhile so that my kids aren't just jumping through a hoop? Which is the really difficult question that nobody wants to talk about, but that is exactly what's going on. Let's talk about flex time in schools. If you've been listening for a long time, you know how important I think this is. It gives us more time for personalized learning, increasing choice and agency for students, and the increased enrollment that comes with it, dedicated time for intervention and enrichment. And overall, as school leaders, it gives us and our faculty more tools to increase academic achievement. But the implementation and management of flex time can be so tough. Tricky logistics and a lack of clear accountability systems can prevent teachers from buying in and can hold us back from ensuring students make good use of their time. I'm pleased to share that MyFlex Learning provides a solution to these challenges and more. MyFlex Learning helps you create and manage flexible time for any purpose. And with seamless SIS integration, a student locator, flexible daily rostering, and an intuitive mobile app, it eliminates the common challenges of implementation and management. Want to see for yourself? Visit myflexlearning.com/B to learn more about it and receive $500 off the first year of use. That's myflexlearning.com/BE. Let me shift gears just a little bit, unless you had something to say about that.
Nope.
Okay.
Feel free.
So this idea of teachers giving feedback to students or hearing what students have to say. In the past, we needed that because we needed teachers to be able to evaluate whether or not a student understood something. But a big part of what Edmentum does is they have courses that kids can take where there's not a teacher that's giving feedback on everything. And so the need for a teacher to be there, being the arbiter of whether or not a kid learned something, is not as necessary as it has been in the past. But I know there's more nuance to that. Can you help me walk through that a little bit, Jane?
Yeah, I think that in our courses in particular, there are teacher graded and computer graded assessments and demonstrations of learning more. And there's a need for teacher engagement. And I think what your question really reveals, Jethro, is the true need for a teacher or a mentor or a guide or a facilitator, if we're talking beyond the four walls of school, is the relationship that gets built, right? And so, yes, an Edmentum course could be used without and self-paced and student-directed. It's available, and that's a nice thing to have for kids who, for whatever reason, need to recover that credit or get that instruction outside of school walls. And the relationship that they have to mentors or facilitators or adults in a learning space can be transformative. It's a way in which a young person can see their learning valued by somebody, to have somebody who's got a few more years under their belt help direct them to different resources, to help them see the value of what they're learning beyond the course, to help build some of those kind of more social and emotional learning kinds of things. These generative AI tools, though they sound very chatty and human-like, they're not able to do that in the same way. And so I think we should never be thinking about the tools as complete replacements for teachers, nor our courses as complete replacements. But it changes the role, that now the teacher is more of a facilitator, to coach, to mentor, to help a learner reach greater heights or dig deeper into something, to find different paths and make different connections, not to assess, to be only responsible for assessing how they do on this test, or do they have the main idea in this essay, or did they understand the story, right?
Yeah. And the real challenge is that it is difficult for educators to move into that role and see value in them being a facilitator, coach, and mentor, even though every single teacher knows that's what the value really is. But we have these things that make it easy to measure whether or not you're a good teacher. Do you have lesson plans? Are you giving the right number of good grades or versus bad grades? Are the right number of kids passing or failing your class? All the stuff that is very binary and easy to measure and easy to say, this is what matters, when in reality, we know that that is not actually what matters. And if you ask any teacher out there, what's more important, the grade or the relationship that you have with a student, they'll all say the relationship, but then they'll do all the things that lead to the grade rather than doing the things, and they'll put the emphasis on the things that lead to the grade rather than the things that lead to the relationship.
And why is that? Because that's how they're evaluated.
So dumb. What are we doing?
Right? So all these transformative principles out here, Jethro, listening to your show, need to figure out ways to evaluate the relationship, to give teachers credit for that, right? That's how teachers are evaluated. So of course that's where they're going to put their energy. And that's how schools are evaluated. So of course that's where the school leaders are going to put the energy. We need a kind of a from the top reimagining of what matters in our schools. Otherwise, we're just going to keep talking to ourselves and having really great ideas that can't get enacted at scale. Yeah. They can get enacted in pockets, in certain relationships, certain schools, maybe for a little bit, but the pressures of accountability are great.
Yeah, they sure are. And incredibly frustrating as well. So on that note, if you're using Danielson or Marzano, it's time to switch to something like Trust-Based Observations, trustbased.com. They're not a sponsor. I don't get any money for saying that. But let me tell you, if you want to have relationships with your teachers that are not focused on those outcomes, but are focused on the relationships and building those things with kids, that's the way that you got to go. And you're absolutely right. The way that we evaluate schools and teachers is not going to help us in this situation. We just got to stop. And, you know, I've been saying that for well over a decade at this point. So I know that the inertia is already moving in the wrong direction with that. But I believe that people can make those changes starting in their small pockets, and then we can move it into bigger places as well. If people want to learn more, I have one more question before I get to that closing point. Okay. We've talked about a lot of stuff today. This has been a great conversation, Jane. What is one thing that a principal can do this week to be a transformative leader like you?
If they haven't already done so, I would invite that leader to create a coalition of the willing who are interested in doing some experimentation with the AI tools, not just for teacher efficiency or some of the things we've talked about, but to really think about what would it mean to empower learning beyond just the mundane tasks, and to encourage a couple of teachers, give them some space, give them some time, give them some resources, give them some credit and validation for doing it, right? And hook them up together and ask them to start experimenting with school AI, with some of these tools, and really champion them doing that to inform the larger school.
Yeah, that is really great advice. I've been working with districts and state principal associations over the last year, helping them see how to do exactly those things. And it really does make a difference when you create a coalition of the willing. And don't even worry about the naysayers. Like, just completely ignore it. Just say, who wants to try this? Let's go try it. And give them value for the work they're doing also. That could be, you know, some time to do it. That could be a space to do it. That could be, yes, you can try this in your classrooms and experiment and see how it goes. I think that is incredibly powerful and excellent advice, Jane. Thank you. If people want to learn more about you or about Edmentum, where do you suggest they go?
Well, we've got edmentum.com to learn more about Edmentum. And probably the easiest place to learn about me is my LinkedIn profile.
Okay, great. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes at transformativeprincipal.org. Jane, thank you so much for being part of Transformative Principal today.
It was a great conversation. I appreciate it, Jethro.
Do you want to simplify your school's technology, save teachers time, improve students' performance on state assessments? You can do it all, but don't waste another minute. Head straight to IXL.com/BE to learn how IXL's research-proven teaching and learning platform can help you achieve all these goals. That's IXL.com/BE. There are lots of solutions out there for giving students what they need when they need it. But when do they actually do all of those things? You need flexible time. When added into your master schedule, flex time enables students to get extra help or intervention, meet with teachers, make up work, get physical exercise, and try new enrichment offerings. If you're thinking of giving it a try, check out MyFlex Learning, which unlocks the benefits of flexible time without all the headaches you get with it usually. Its intuitive design and SIS integration makes implementation and training a breeze. Make your flex time work for you. Visit myflexlearning.com/BE to learn more and receive $500 off your first year. That's myflexlearning.com/BE.